So when I originally created the firm in 2016, I mentioned it was to be for stay-at-home moms. So I created it to be remote from the get-go, pre-COVID. So like when the switch came to COVID, we were like, blink an eye. We don't do any construction clients or retail clients at the moment, but I'm going to put it out there that the right and perfect person who maybe likes this idea of what I'm creating makes their way to us.
Welcome to Growing Your Firm, brought to you by Jetpack Workflow. We're here to help firms unlock the secrets to help you reach your goals faster. And now, here's your host, founder and CEO of Jetpack Workflow, David Cristello.
Hey everybody, David Cristello here, founder and CEO of Jetpack Workflow and host of Growing Your Firm podcast. Today we have a returning guest, Katie Lilly of Lilyfield Accounting Solutions. We talked to her years ago. This is pre-COVID, so it feels like decades ago now, Katie, since you were last on the show. And we were just catching up on the pre-interview, and we were talking about so many transformative things you've done in the firm, which we're going to unpack in today's interview. We talked about how you made the move from mainly serving local clients to going regional and going national, how you've adjusted and how you're thinking about remote work and remote work culture. Are you even able to move your own presence without it being disruptive to the firm, which is amazing. We talked about the annual retreats you now do with your firm, and I'm sure there's so much more. But first, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here. I just remember, I think it was 2017, and I had maybe employee number one or number two, and I had reached out, and I was like, I'm just going to start this firm. So let's just talk about it.
I love it. And so where are you at today?
Now there's 10 of us in two different states. We're over 60 sets of books because we do bookkeeping only. So we're bookkeeping, a remote bookkeeping firm, well over 65, 20% revenue grows every year, including COVID year. It's been an amazing ride.
I love it. And your focus, you mentioned going local to regional to national. I guess help us understand your client mix. Like, what does a typical client look like today, and how did that differ from when you started?
Okay, so when we first started, that was back just when QuickBooks Online was taking off. So we had a few clients that were in QuickBooks Desktop. Majority were in QuickBooks Online. As the product got better and better, we made the executive decision to be 100% QuickBooks Online, just because we wanted everyone in the bookkeeping firm working on the exact same software product, because there's a lot of fees that way. You don't have somebody trying to learn some other software, and somebody in the firm's going to have experienced something like that in that particular accounting software. So we made that decision. And then all the clients that were on desktop, I said, you either need to find another bookkeeper or you need to convert over to online. And they're like, oh, okay, I guess I'll go to online. So they all followed us. We try to do only service-based and nonprofit. Okay. We don't do any construction clients or retail clients at the moment. We don't. But it's definitely something I'm open to. It's just not something I know and I do really well. But I'm going to put it out there that the right and perfect person who maybe likes this idea of what I'm creating makes their way to us. And maybe one day we'll have Lilyfield Retail Solutions or Lilyfield Construction Solutions. So right now it's primarily service-based businesses, nonprofits. And so when we started, it was very local. We got most of our referrals were from tax accountants. That was probably years 1 through 4. And we're about to go into our 7th year. And then in year 5, I remember, because I track my referrals at the end of every year to look, see what's most effective. And it switched to client referrals, from tax referrals to client referrals.
Super cool.
That was fascinating. Yeah. And then I think that was about, I lost my train of thought.
We're talking about the clients of today. You're primarily in Florida at the time. You're now split between two states, 10 employees. So is a client today up and down the East Coast and then in the service-based and nonprofit, or is it mostly Southeast, or how does that work?
So I think it was once we switched from the tax accountants to the clients, that's when it blew up. So we started getting clients down on the coast of Florida in that area. Then we started to get some in South Georgia. So that's when we started getting regional. We got some in Tampa. And I think it's because the client word of mouth referral takes it beyond usually your CPA or your tax accountant in your local hometown. And then we started getting, we've got a nonprofit in Chicago. It's just that we've got clients all over now. And I really think it's because of that word of mouth and then just having a social media presence. We don't do any advertising per se, but we do have a pretty active social media presence in as far as brand awareness, because I think really for someone like us, either a tax accountant or another client's going to recommend us. And then the first thing that person's going to do is probably go to our website and then probably go to our social media to see if we're legit. So we put our marketing dollars in more to brand awareness than actual paid advertising. Just making sure that anyone that goes to our social media or website can get an idea of what our culture's like and what it's like to work a day in the life at Lilyfield.
I love it. You mentioned 10 employees. So what does the breakdown look like? Are they all reporting up to you? Do you have other managers? Do you have team leads?
That's a great question.
What does that look
like? That's a great question. I created the firm. I don't know if you remember this, but I created the firm to be for women who wanted to work really the way a woman or a mom has to work. And I started by hiring a lot of stay-at-home moms. And I told them that they could work whatever hours they want. And so I started my first employee wanted to work 5 hours a week. I was like, that's fine. And I got another that wanted to work 20 hours a week. I was like, that's fine. And so now the breakdown, I think I have maybe 3 part-time, 4 full-time. I'm going to get the breakdown wrong. 2 managers. And then I hired another me, but she's better than me.
What's her title?
She's just a better version of me so that I can focus on growing the business and working on the business.
So is she like an integrator or ops person? Or
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. She is the one where before my managers or my bookkeepers might have had questions and I would be the bottleneck and my inbox would just be filled with their questions because something else was more urgent at the time, doing a sales call or whatever. And she's taken that piece. So she's the one that's like, everybody goes to her for the questions. And she's a CPA. She can answer those questions. She's created us an internal SharePoint site. We've developed a bookkeeping training program. So you don't even necessarily have to have bookkeeping experience anymore if you go to our bookkeeping training program. So she's created all of that. And then that freed up my business office manager. She's also my COO to take over everything business related, HR, marketing, sales, IT, all that. She's been able to take over herself. So there's really the 3 of us. So me as CEO, then I've got a COO, and then director of accounting is the 3rd.
Awesome.
It's working great.
The part-time people you mentioned, the full-time people, do they all report up to the director of accounting?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So how do you keep the 3 of you? I love that structure, by the way. I mean, we talked with firms and I just think magic happens when you have an operator / integrator involved, the director of accounting services. But what have you found useful to keep the 3 of you lockstep as you're navigating changes in the firm? Do you meet weekly? You meet monthly, daily? Like, how are you keeping on the same page?
We meet weekly. I meet with each of them. Beginning of the week, we have what's called weekly accountability meetings. We call them WHAMs. And I, of course, use the cover of Make It Big by WHAM as the background of my Trello board. So... And so we just will put all the issues that we want to discuss on that board. And then usually Monday and Tuesday or when we have those meetings, we'll just do a deep dive into those. And then they will also have a meeting between the 2 of them for the more granular stuff that I don't need to be involved in. So that's how management handles it. Then the director of accounting meets weekly with the managers to see how everything's going and just troubleshoot anything with them. And then we have a monthly team meeting with the whole group. We invested in cameras and for big screen TVs. And people can either come into the office if they want for the meetings. If they do, they get a free lunch afterwards. But if they can't, because we've got some that live probably an hour away from Tallahassee. And then, of course, us in North Carolina, Can't do that. So we do that monthly meeting, and then annually we do the beach retreat. So that keeps us, that's how we stay connected. But we also use Teams on a daily basis, which is another great way. They were talking this weekend, we just had our beach retreat. I was telling you that before the show. And by one of the questions I asked was, how do you guys stay connected? Do you feel connected? Because we had three brand new employees that started in April. And I wanted to know, because working from home is not for everybody. And so I was like, do you feel connected? And just that using Teams, using Teams and the way we use Teams, I think everyone does feel really connected.
Can you tell us a little bit more about this beach retreat? You hear the word beach and the word retreat and you think it's fun. I'm sure you had fun, but it sounded like you also asked questions to help evolve the firm and pulse check with the team. Were there other questions or exercises you did during the retreat that was helpful for the team or for you as the owner?
Yeah, so this one was really great. Like I mentioned, we have three new employees in April, and the majority of people hadn't met everybody. So it was, when we do the retreat, it is, I try not to do a lot of training because we do that on our monthly meetings. I really want it to be about connection and reflection. And so this, the theme of this retreat was, let's explore our values. And so I found this awesome website where you can focus you on what your personal core values are. It gives you like 51 and you have to choose, and it pairs it down to your top five. So I asked everybody to do their top five before and bring that with them. And then I had the Lilyfield core values in, you know, their folder. And we really explored the whole morning. We explored how are our personal core values reflected in our Lilyfield core values. Like, where's the synergy there? How are we alike? Why is this why we like working together? Because we've got so much synergy there. And then the afternoon, we took the values. So the morning was really a reflection of ourselves and our values. And then the afternoon was like, okay, looking at our values and our core values, how can we create value for our clients and for each other in the firm? And just did a deep dive on that, which then led us naturally into talking about our 10-year plan, which we weren't real clear on. And so we did a lot of work around that too. But then we also do super fun games. We do this one called the Flawed Financials. And I just will print out a balance sheet of a real client that I've received. I redact the client name and any identifying information and redact that. But I give them all highlighters. And they've got to go in and find out, like, highlight every single thing that's wrong with that balance sheet. And then I've got another one that's Jeopardy. I play bookkeeping at Jeopardy, and it gets really competitive.
Hey, Growing a Firm community. David here. Just want to share a quick note about Jetpack Workflow, our accounting workflow software. Now, for almost a decade, we've helped 5,000 plus accountants, bookkeepers, and firm owners use Jetpack Workflow to better organize accounting workflows, automate recurring tasks, and easily track and monitor client work. Never miss a deadline again. Stop using messy post-it notes, generic tools, legacy systems, or spreadsheets to handle workflows and bring sanity to your client work. Now head on over to jetpackworkflow.com. That's jetpackworkflow.com to get started with a 14-day free trial or schedule a one-on-one demo with us. All right, now let's get back to the show. Yeah. The reason I wanted to dig into it is because I've talked with firm owners, and I think they all love this concept of having these retreats, but sometimes you're a little bit intimidated about the content you're supposed to produce or how it's supposed to navigate through the day or through the week. And so that makes a lot of sense. I would be kicking myself if I didn't go back to something you mentioned earlier. You're in two different states. We talked about in the pre-show, you were in Florida, you moved to North Carolina. Help me understand how you're able to do that. You had mentioned it was not disruptive to the firm.
Yeah.
So help me understand how that's possible. Because a lot of folks feel like it would be quite hard to uproot themselves, maybe away from their clients. And you spoke to the regional impact that you now have with your clients. Maybe you haven't met all those clients. But I guess help us understand how you're able to do that, navigate, and the whole firm was stable throughout this process.
Okay. So when I originally created the firm in 2016, I mentioned it was to be for stay-at-home moms. So I created it to be remote from the get-go, pre-COVID, all that. So like when the switch came to COVID, we were like, blink and I just, we just kept doing what we were doing. So my husband had gotten a great, like one of those just life-changing promotions. And I knew he was starting to get bored There was no way for him to move up in the company and stay in Florida. And we had gotten job offers other places that we weren't interested in moving, but this one particular one was to North Carolina where his family lives. And we just, timing wise, it was going to work really well for our family. And what's interesting was I had considered actually possibly selling the firm.
And oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah. And when I mentioned it, it was like an employee revolt. I mean, just like, what? No, we're all going to leave then. And they were like, you stated this to be remote. Why can't you just lead it remotely? And I was like,
look. Were you thinking of selling it because of the move, or were you thinking of selling it even before this opportunity came up?
So I had been approached about it about a month before my husband's promotion. And it would have been a merger situation that was a really exciting opportunity that I was considering. And it was just, I thought it was happening. This must be time, whatever. But then I was like, and it wasn't ready to. And I was like, if I move up to North Carolina, what am I going to do? So I told everybody, I said, listen, if I can get my hours down to 20 hours a week, then I'll do this. And sure enough, I work 20 hours a week now. Not right now. I'm back up to 30 by choice, but I was able to get it down to 20 so that I had to get my oldest daughter graduated. I had to sell the house. My husband was already up in North Carolina working. I had to sell the house by myself, get my daughter graduated, uproot my kids, move to an apartment with three kids, three cats, and my husband. And I just knew I wouldn't be able to do that and be at the same level. And so what we did was we chose not to really take on any new clients and just be status quo until I had hit my new normal. And there was one other thing about it that I remember. I lost my train of thought again on that one. It'll come back to me. But yeah, we didn't take any new clients and I remember. So I did let the clients know that were a little more hands-on. We see them every week, the ones that needed to know, and they didn't bat an eye either. They were like, okay, that's how we work already. So
yeah,
it really was a non-issue. And I think I mentioned to you that as of today, I still have clients. I have no idea.
Yeah, I love that. We're talking about some of the professional service firms we work with. I don't know where they are. I know where their headquarters are, but I don't know where the individual is calling in, whether it's our law firm or an accounting firm or whatever it may be. It's interesting. You mentioned, so the whole team knew about the merger opportunity. Is that correct?
They always knew that my game plan was to sell because I had read the e-myth way back in the day and I had always said I'm going to do this for 10 years and I'm going to sell a business. So they all knew it, but we were like at year five and they were like, are you being serious?
Yeah.
Are you really going to sell it? And I was like, oh, well, I don't really know. So some of them knew for sure. I don't know that all of them necessarily knew about the opportunity that had come up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I'll put it out there because we've had a couple of interviews, some of which are not even live yet. But if you're listening to this interview, those ones are probably live where somebody started thinking about selling their firm. Maybe there's an opportunity that came up. Maybe their inner circle knew and the opportunity didn't transact. They were like, I'm just going to hold on to it. And then lo and behold, 1, 2, 3 years later, one of the existing team members was like, I'll buy it if you want me to buy it. Right. And they'll do a structure. We just finished an interview with Jordan Schult, where he had been in the firm and he's thinking about transacting it. And one of his teammates was like, actually, they had a professional goal to run a firm one day. And he was like, hey, it's probably accelerated timeline. But if you want to buy this one and then run it, that could be on the table. And it's interesting that the inner circle knows about it. And they felt so passionate about the culture you created that they were hesitant to transact. So anyways, I'm putting it out there. We'll see if it happens, you got to come back on the show and tell us about it.
Now that I've moved and I got my mojo back and I'm in my new normal, I'm loving it up here. And I've got so many ideas for the next 10 years. I would love to see Lilyfield just have a legacy and keep going. And what would be ideal for me is we're starting to hire younger people and really train them really well. I want to see them grow and have opportunities and be like, I haven't had anyone that has been pregnant and how would we handle motherhood at Lilyfield, like all the different challenges and how we would personally do that. Just, I would love to see the opportunity and I would love to see team members want to take on with that. And one of the ideas I'm batting around is this idea of the Lilyfield constellation of services. I have one bookkeeper who's a super strong bookkeeper, and she's very entrepreneurial. And we decided just recently, probably in May, to create a bookkeeping firm together that specializes just in law practices. And so that's another, that's like a service that's tied to Lily Build. And so I would just love to see different ones. If I've got, I would love for everybody to stay at Lily Build, but if they don't want to do the traditional supervisor manager route, or they don't want to go get a CPA or get an accounting degree, but they're really good at nonprofits and I've been doing nonprofits for 10 years, maybe they come to me and say, hey, let's start Lily Field Nonprofit Solutions, and I'm all in. Let's do it. I would love to see something like that. I think there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah, I love it. And it sounds like you're building the right culture to probably have the entrepreneurial mindset and for people to come to you and potentially launch those sister companies or sister services, if you will, from the organization. If somebody wants to reach out, say thank you, follow up with you. Oh, by the way, before I give you a plug and we'll link it up, what was the website that you could put your own values? Do you remember that website? I had a star next to it in my notes and I was like, you know what? If not, we'll put it in the show notes.
So fun. Yes. I'll have to give it to you on the show notes because my speaker wouldn't work unless I took my second screen off. So,
okay.
But I've got to have a link to it and I'll shoot it over to you as soon as we're done.
Okay. Sounds good. Anyways, if somebody wants to reach out, say thank you, learn more, maybe they're looking to jump into the next adventure and maybe they're interested in applying for an open position at your firm, what's the best place for them to connect with you?
LilyFieldSolutions.com. And that's Lily, L-I-L-Y, LilyFieldSolutions.com.
Awesome. If you couldn't write down all the notes from today, we're going to link it up at jetpackworkflow.com/blog. That's jetpackworkflow.com/blog. If you enjoyed today's interview, leave a 5-star review. It helps us get the word out. And if you really enjoyed today's interview, share it with a fellow firm owner that needed to hear something that Katie mentioned today. Katie, it's been a real treat. Thanks for coming back on the show. Thanks for being a jetpacker for all these years. And I look forward to episode 3.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining Growing Your Firm, the podcast series for global, small, and medium-sized businesses ready to scale and increase profits. You can check out more podcasts by following the links in the show notes. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you're listening. At Jetpack Workflow, we're all about maximizing returns for accounting firms and CPAs. Check out more podcasts on growing your firm and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.